On February 5th, 2020, Wisconsin reported its first case of COVID-19, found in a person who had just returned from Beijing. In mid-March, as the virus started to creep outward, Governor Tony Evers closed all schools for 2.5 weeks. 6 days later, the state reported its first 2 deaths from the disease.
On March 24th, Evers ordered people to stay at home and non-essential businesses to close as part of his Safer at Home order.
Issuing a Safer at Home order isn't something I thought we'd have to do. It's not something I wanted to do. And it's not something I take lightly.
3 days after that,
so we do have our first case in Oneida County.
Then the state was thrown into confusion in early April as a high turnout election loomed. Evers tried multiple methods to block or postpone in-person voting, saying large gatherings were too dangerous, but he was ultimately rejected by the Supreme Court.
More than 400,000 people showed up at the polls on Election Day, and the state called out the National Guard to help with staffing.
I'm not comfortable, but I feel like it's my obligation, and so I'm doing it.
Joe Biden won the Democratic presidential primary, and Jill Karofsky won a seat on the Supreme Court.
On April 16th, Evers closed schools for the remainder of the year, and the next week, thousands of anti-lockdown protesters gathered at the state capitol. May 13th brought a consequential ruling from the state Supreme Court, decisively striking down Evers' stay-at-home order. Republican State Representative Mary Felskowski of Tomahawk was among the supporters of the court's decision, saying it upheld individual freedom.
There's people that are scared to death of this. That's okay. There's people that think this is a hoax. That's okay. And there's people that are in the middle. That's okay.
At the end of the month, an Oneida County committee approved a permit allowing Hodak Country Fest to proceed, drawing tens of thousands of people to Rhinelander.
I don't think that 16,000 people on a daily basis, on a one-day thing, out at Country Fest is any different than if you combine Walmart, Home Depot, or Menards.
Facing pressure from the community, Country Fest changed plans and canceled the event 2 days later.
As cases continued to rise statewide, WXPR reported in mid-July that cases in the North Woods were likely being undercounted. Dr. Ryan Westergaard said positive cases for many visitors and seasonal residents were being attributed to their home county instead of the North Woods.
When we receive notice of a positive test for COVID or any reportable condition, case report gets tagged to the area where they live.
On July 21st, Wisconsin exceeded 1,000 daily cases for the first time, and Minocqua canceled its popular Beef-a-Rama event the next week. On the first day of August, Governor Evers enacted a new mandate. Everyone age 5 or older must wear masks in all indoor spaces. But a WXPR investigation found no sheriff's office in the North Woods would enforce the mandate, with some calling it unconstitutional.
Not a law. That's part of our opinion about why we believe it violates the Constitution.
On September 4th, several thousand people streamed into the Crandon area for the annual off-road races.
We're not too worried about it, I guess. We're outside and we don't have anybody with any real health issues, so we're just going to go with it and hope it goes good.
The nearby Sacagan Chippewa community in Mole Lake had strongly urged cancellation of the races. By mid-September, WXPR reported Forest County's case rate was nearly double that of the next highest in the state.
On September 20th, Wisconsin passed a depressing milestone, reporting its 100,000th case. It had taken more than 6 months to get there, but COVID case numbers started exploding. In just one more month, the state passed 200,000 cases, and an additional 3 weeks put it above 300,000 cases.
In early October, the state limited indoor gatherings to 25% of a building's capacity, and Evers extended the statewide mask mandate. The holidays brought new, terrible records to Wisconsin. The state reached its peak on December 22nd, when it reported 120 COVID deaths in a single day.
As always, our thoughts are with the families and friends who have lost loved ones, especially as you feel this grief during the holiday season.
But the coming vaccine provided some hope. The first healthcare workers were vaccinated in December, and the elderly started getting shots in January.
By early February, Wisconsin had passed 5,000 deaths and 500,000 total cases. But more than 500,000 vaccine doses had been distributed, and daily case numbers were gradually dropping.
On February 4th, political tension in Madison boiled again. Despite universal opposition from health experts, the Republican legislature repealed the statewide mask mandate, calling it an unconstitutional overreach by Evers. The governor responded by reinstating it with a new public health emergency and order an hour later.
Wearing a mask is the most basic thing we can do to keep each other safe. If the legislature keeps playing politics and we don't keep wearing masks, we're going to see more preventable deaths, and it's going to take even longer to get our state and our economy back on track.
One day later, Evers vetoed a Republican-backed COVID-19 bill, the first legislation of its kind passed in 10 months. Among other provisions, the bill would have prohibited employers from requiring workers to get vaccinated.
On February 10th, a second variant of the virus, the so-called UK strain, was detected in Wisconsin. Then, on February 22nd, Wisconsin went two straight days without a reported COVID-19 death. One day later, though, 33 more people died of the virus.
As we enter March, there remains plenty Wisconsin doesn't know. How many people will get infected and die? When will everyone have access to a vaccine? Can any of the deep political wounds be mended? We'll find out in year two of COVID in the state.